Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. It's a Friday morning. The snow is falling. This is a television news director's dream right here. What's going on at this current moment, I just have to say. I didn't say that, Carl. It is, though.
It
is exactly. That's exactly what it is. There is snow falling during live morning newscasts. I've been there when they forecast that and it didn't happen. And now it is happening. So there is snow coming down out there. It's coming down a little heavier than it was 2 hours ago as we drove in. And I'm sure it is affecting the morning commute. Sue Thomas is going to have to deal with all that fallout. So please stay tuned throughout the morning and she'll tell you where the trouble spots are. It is at least, what, in the high 20s, if I'm looking here correctly,
29,
and it's only snow. There's no sleet, so hopefully you'll be okay. Just kind of take it slow. The biggest problem might be in those areas where the roads never were cleared off from the last storm a week ago, and I've already got, I'm sure there's already a list of school closings, so just be careful. You know, it's not like the olden days, Carl, when we had to wait for them to be brought up in alphabetical order.
Bill Wilkerson and Wendy Weiss on KMOX.
That was what I grew up with, though. It's watching the ticker. You turn on the morning news and you're waiting to see if your school will be mentioned.
And now,
I think you could go to 971talk.com.
Yeah.
And figure that out.
Yeah, well, you can. It's just so much easier these days. Plus, my phone already rang informing me that they've canceled my daughter's school today. So,
and they called Reardon the other day. On the air, Sue was doing Sue's news, and they called while he was on the air because he's like, I bet they cancel my kid's school tomorrow. And they did right then.
Sure.
And that was the day before.
Well, it's not. You drive the highways and you think to yourself, the roads are dry now for the most part. Why can't they get to school? And then you drive on the side roads and you see exactly why, because a lot of these kids drive themselves and the school buses can't negotiate these side roads. It's a little bit of a mess. But
hey, Mark, I have a question for you.
What would that be, Carl Middleman?
Who did news at the top of the hour?
Oh, Matthew.
There he is.
Good job, brother.
Appreciate that.
Welcome in.
Thank you so much. Glad
to
be here.
So in case you're not paying attention this morning, the reason we're doing that is that Matthew's kind of doing a little on-the-job training here, in the instance that I'm out, Kim's sitting over here, we need somebody to fill in for news, he can kind of slide in there and do that, and we appreciate that.
Yep.
Thank you.
Or if I'm out, either way, you kind of can be the pinch hitter.
Absolutely.
Which is nice.
Tell the people a little bit about yourself, Matthew.
South City, St. Louis, born and raised. Went to CBC High School. Then I went to Missouri, started out doing journalism, eventually finished with a communications degree. And I've been doing radio pretty much since I got back from Missouri in the summer of 2013. And I joined Odyssey a few months ago.
Well, congratulations. And you worked mainly in sports radio up until now,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's been largely the overwhelming majority of my career the past decade plus.
Was it ESPN?
Yes, yeah 101 so. for the last few years and 590 before that for a long
well,
time.
Well, we're glad to have you, my friend. And that way, if Kim has any hard questions about sports or pronunciations,
this is true.
She can ask you.
You know, Annie Fry started at 590.
There we go, a little pipeline.
She did?
Before, or yeah.
I thought she was like on Air America or something she did for
that
a little while, didn't
also
she?
Also she did.
Yeah.
But she started in sports.
Not as a host. Don't take that wrong. She was like behind the scenes running the board or something when she first got out of college.
I think that's where she learned how to run a
board. Yeah. Because she realized what a disaster liberal talk radio was at that point in her early career.
And then she went to sports.
Exactly. And now she's here. Exactly. All right. We got lots to get to this hour. We're going to talk to Jessica Rosenthal. A couple of big Supreme Court decisions. In one case, we found out that the next Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice Roberts, has a comrade in arms, and her name is Amy Coney Barrett. They joined with the liberals yesterday to deny the request to delay this sentencing that the Dems are anxious to do against President Trump before he gets sworn into office. I don't fully understand what Amy Coney Barrett was thinking about, but we're going to talk more about that for you coming up here shortly. Right now, let's get to the shortlist.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Don Jr. and some of your team just got back from Greenland. What's the price tag?
Well, maybe no price tag.
Oh, he's going to get him going now. Baby, did you see that news conference yesterday? Like, Trump, your son just got back from Greenland. What's it going to cost us? He goes, maybe nothing. That is the art of the deal right there.
There's water coming out there. You can use it.
I appreciate it. I'm going to make the call to address everything I can right now.
People I'd like safe. To make sure Thank you do. Can I have an opportunity to at least tell people you're doing what you're saying you're doing?
Wow, that was a citizen who ran up to Gavin Newsom, and he's trying to tell her, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to get the president on the phone. I've called him 5 times so far, and he's not answering. She's like, there's no water coming out of the faucet right over there. What's the president got to do with this? You're the governor.
Madam Vice President, I know you're directly affected, so you fire away. No pun intended.
Indeed.
The pun was intended because he repeated it to the one of the fire officials right after that. I mean, folks, it's getting bad. The next 10 days could not go quickly enough.
I was with Wayne Gretzky. I said, Wayne, would you like to be the governor of Canada? I can't imagine anybody doing any better than Wayne. Wayne was not too interested.
This wide-ranging news conference that Trump did yesterday, again, they're like, so did you expect Justin Trudeau to resign after your meeting with him? He goes, no, I was a little surprised by that, but we had some hard conversations. And I'm sure Trudeau is shocked because he's had a bromance with Obama and, you know, he's brothers in arms with Joe Biden. And he, speaking of arms, loves taking them away from Canadians. And he's just about as far left as you can get. He said yesterday, Canadians take pride in the fact that they're not Americans. Like, really? Like, they'd rather live in a police state like you've built up in Canada? Are you kidding me? I shouldn't say police state.
You sounded Irish there,
by
the way.
I'm sorry. I know.
Don't you know, eh?
Eh, don't you know? I sound like I'm from Minnesota.
I think
when he's talked like that.
The whole Trump thing, him coming into office, probably was the tipping point. But let's be real. Trudeau's a disaster.
Oh, yeah.
His own people who used to love him, right? He was kind of this handsome guy everyone thought was a great leader way back when, and they've even turned on him because he's destroyed their economy. The housing market's a disaster there, inflation, all sorts of things, and people are finally seeing through all the other stuff that they once liked about him and realizing the policies aren't working.
Maybe they realize that he's Fidel Castro's illegitimate son, and they're finally realizing the mistake they made all those years ago. Trump pointed out to him, we're subsidized Canada to the tune of a couple of $100 million a year. Why are we doing that? And he said, Trudeau said, I don't know. And Trump said, well, we're going to end that, or you could just become the 51st state. So he's a step ahead of them. He's playing chess while most of the rest of them are setting up the checkerboard. I just have to tell you that. All right, quick break here. Jessica Rosenthal coming up from Fox News Radio on these Supreme Court decisions. We'll get to in other news before the end of the hour. Next hour, we're going to talk more about that Trump sentencing decision and some of the new gun laws they're trying to force down the throat of Illinoisans. If you're listening to me in Southern Illinois this morning, it's a story you don't want to miss at about 7:35. Welcome back. So a couple of big decisions yesterday. coming out of the Supreme Court. Well, I shouldn't say coming out of the Supreme Court. There was a decision made by the Supreme Court yesterday. There's going to be a hearing in the Supreme Court on another big issue today, and that's going to be whether or not this law goes into effect banning TikTok in the United States unless they divest. Jessica Rosenthal is covering that for Fox News Radio this morning. Jessica, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, it appears to me that all of the courts up until now, correct me if I'm wrong, have agreed to back this law, correct?
Yes. Well, when Congress does something, largely the Supreme Court, that's a heavy, heavy bar to get passed. Because as we all know, the Supreme Court says we're in the business of interpreting law.
Right.
And so when Congress says, you know, we all want this, that's a big burden. But we do have precedent, right? And that we're going to be hearing about this throughout the day and probably in court, right? The one of the most recent precedents we have backs what you just said, right? That the government has a lot of power in deciding national security issues. They are making the case that the TikTok, in the way that it exists now, presents a national security issue. And when Justice Elena Kagan was Solicitor General in 2010, she argued for a government law that said that restricted speech because of who the government had determined was a terrorist organization or an individual. And Justice Roberts wrote for the majority in that case in 2010, quote, the government, when seeking to prevent imminent harms in the context of international affairs and national security, is not required to conclusively link all the pieces in the puzzle before we grant weight to its conclusions, siding with the government there.
Yeah.
So we've heard from Justice Kagan there and Justice Roberts here in the recent past. Now, on the other side, as you know, TikTok is saying this is a free speech issue because essentially what you're forcing us to do is sell our own product. And if we don't, you're going to ban the speech of the people on this platform. They, you know, on that side of the ledger, there's a reference to very old court precedent from the 60s. At least that's one of the cases that we're hearing talked about in terms of precedent, in which the Supreme Court concluded that Americans should get to hear from the marketplace of ideas.
Yeah.
That a lot of speech should be allowed, even speech we don't like, right? The government is saying, well, that's not a really good argument, TikTok, because this is not just a company owning a social media platform based in any old country. It's China. Mm-hmm. And we can throw intelligence officials at you. We can bring out the evidence and the data that China is a different sort of entity that we're dealing with here, and that they are adversarial in many ways. We'll hear that.
It'll be interesting to see how this plays out, because as this deadline gets closer, because that this is now a platform where people go to monetize their content. People are making, yes, I would imagine, millions of dollars from posting, yes, on TikTok. I mean, even Donald Trump has said he has a warm spot for TikTok, because didn't he use that as part of his campaign strategy along with other candidates as well, knowing that they could,
right,
reach out to a lot of these younger voters through TikTok?
So your point is extremely important, right? Because we're having this legal argument, right? But it doesn't happen in a vacuum. Real people are affected by this. And you're right. President-elect Trump has said, he had said years ago when he was president that he wanted a TikTok ban. Now,
right,
he's saying, well, hold on a second. let's reconsider this. And his attorneys filed paperwork with the Supreme Court saying, why don't you guys just kick this back? Give me time as president-elect, soon to be president, to negotiate something new. I will share with you, we spoke to Mr. Wonderful, Kevin O'Leary, this past week for our Fox News Rundown podcast. And he says he and billionaire Frank McCourt are ready to buy TikTok, even without the algorithm. Because that's the sticking point, right, is that ByteDance says they're not selling the algorithm. And O'Leary says, fine. Sell it to me. Sell it to us. We're ready to go. Frank's got the tech stack. I've got the people. And we want the Supreme Court to know, and they put out a press release this week saying it, that they're ready and willing to buy. They've got a letter of intent. And he said that's extremely important, because they don't want anybody before the court today to say, well, there's not even a buyer.
Yes.
O'Leary says, we're the buyer. We're ready to go. So his ideal situation is that President Biden, as the current executive, sees the way the court's going ahead of January 19th, even if there's not a ruling yet, and says, you know what, let's give a stay of execution here for 90 days. If you will negotiate in good faith, you've got 90 days to figure it out. So I will stay the law taking effect January 19th if you think you can get this done. That's his dream goal.
So, Jessica, do we have an idea? Or is it expected they would rule on this then sometime before the 19th?
Yeah, that is very possible. And as you and I and everybody listening knows, that is highly unusual.
Yes.
To have a quit. But because of the deadline, because so many people are affected, because we're changing administrations, I think there's this full court press sort of to get some sort of decision out of the court early on it. It doesn't mean they have to.
Yes.
The justices could take their time and say, you know what, we'll get back to you in July. I don't think that's going to happen, though. I think we're going to have some decision on this more imminently.
Jessica Rosenthal, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Take care of yourself. Appreciate good to get her on here. I think maybe that ship has already sailed in terms of security damage to the United States, for sure. Some big business news expected this morning. We'll talk to Nicole Murray coming up.
Can we ask you what you hope to get out of your visit to Mar-a-Lago to talk to Donald Trump?
Well, what are we talking about here? Is there some news?
There's some news. We hear that you're going to be heading down to Mar-a-Lago.
I've heard that, yes.
What would you be discussing with the president?
Well, yeah, I demand that I need to be made Pope of Greenland.
I have to tell you, this Fetterman guy out of Pennsylvania is growing on me, man. He's on the list now. He's been invited to Mar-a-Lago. He's the Democrat senator from Pennsylvania. I when he was running after that stroke, I was really stunned that he got elected. But now that he's kind of come out the other side of that thing, he's funny. He wears hoodie sweatshirts everywhere, whether he's on a network news set or in his office in Congress. And they were waiting for him when he came out of his office yesterday. And they walked down the hall with him, and they're begging to know why he would dare want to go to Mar-a-Lago. And eventually, after he said that funny comment about being the Pope of Greenland, he said, listen, I'm not just the senator for Democrats of Pennsylvania. I'm the senator for everybody in Pennsylvania, and he's the incoming administration president, and I'm going to go meet with him and find out what his goals are.
You think he's the new Tulsi Gabbard?
I don't know. Maybe.
Former Democrat kind of moves inches over a little bit more to the right.
He's going to be so moderate that Chuck Schumer is going to stop inviting him to meetings here at some point. He's not going to like that cooperation at all, for sure. Hey, let's get to Nicole Murray, please. Good morning, Nicole. How are you?
It's Friday, baby.
Friday. You got some job numbers coming out in about an hour. You got lots to work on today, right?
Yes, lots to work on.
So what are they, like, is this another one of those expectations are already built in? If it's a little high or a little low, then the market tanks?
I find the market just does whatever it wants.
Sometimes
the market, really hard to say why or how or because of this. But
what was it last time, Nicole? Wasn't it that they accidentally overestimated the number of jobs added by like only, what was it?
That was for the year,
wasn't it? It was 700,000 jobs for the year.
That they overestimated?
We were so close, but just a little off.
Something like that, yes.
It's all a guess. They don't know what the hell's going on.
So fingers crossed they're a little bit more accurate today.
Let's hope.
That it's getting good news.
What else you got going on?
All right, so futures are slightly lower. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 106, the NASDAQ down 10, and the S&P 500 up 9. Today, like you said, is Jobs Friday. Economists expect the Bureau of Labor Statistics to report a gain of 155,000 non-farm payrolls, a step down from the surprising 227,000 increase in November. The unemployment rate is forecast to hold steady at 4.2%. Data drops at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. List prices for the top 25 prescription drugs covered by Medicare Part D have nearly doubled since they were first brought to the market. That's according to a new AARP report. Moreover, that price growth has often exceeded the rate of inflation. The findings highlight the importance of allowing Medicare to negotiate drug prices, according to AARP. The Supreme Court is set to hear arguments today on whether the law that would effectively ban TikTok in the U.S. unless its Chinese parent company ByteDance divests violates the Constitution's free speech protections. TikTok announced it will shut down in the U.S. on January 19th unless the Supreme Court strikes down or delays the law requiring it to be sold. The wildfires wreaking devastation in the Los Angeles area could become the costliest blaze in U.S. history. The insured losses from this week's fires may exceed $20 billion. That's according to estimates published by J.P. Morgan. These losses would far surpass the $12.5 billion insured damages from the 2018 Camp Fire. Today is known as Quitter's Day, when most people abandon their health-related New Year's resolutions. To help keep you on track, Chipotle is offering 50,000 free Chipotle lifestyle bowls, which are perfect for sticking to health-focused goals. And finally, are you participating in Dry January? Did you already slip up? No worries. Here are a few tips to get you back on track. Number one, stock up on free spirit-free options like mocktails or your favorite non-alcoholic beverages. Number two, share your Dry January goals with family and friends. They can offer support and keep you accountable.
Well, I was, but today's Quitter's Day, so I got to...
This sounds like it was planned all along, Mark.
The timing is perfect. I'm just kidding you. I was sipping on some Planters Ozark American last night as I was watching the football game, the Penn State Notre Dame game.
Oh,
sorry, so I'm not participating in Dry January.
I'm only doing it because one of my co-hosts kind of like coerced me into it. We're doing a diet. We're doing Dry January. I'm miserable
was
over
that
here.
Mike was that Mike Gavin? Who
Gavin
did
is
that to you?
Doing that to
yes,
you.
Yes, that it is Mike Gavin who is doing this to me.
I should do that with Mark. Mark, you want to do a healthy diet?
No.
Okay.
But thank
thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
I'm Googling the Chipotle thing right now, or as Mark calls it, Chipotle.
I have to tell you, we're pretty well known here, Nicole, for our Italian food in St. Louis, particularly on the Hill, is famous for that. And I found a little restaurant near my house called Ami's out at Monticello Plaza off of K and O'Fallon Road. And I went in there last night, and I had their salsiccia sandwich.
Sazica.
And it was outstanding. I'm just telling you. Other than all the carbs that I took in, eating that big loaf Sazica. Of bread that it was on, it was so good. And I couldn't do the diet thing. I couldn't do the alcohol thing. I drank a beer while I was eating it. It was
I had
awful.
Pizza last night, so there's that.
You both are the worst, knowing I'm dieting and
Nicole.
Talking to me about sandwiches and pizza.
Now, the pizza
shame
was
on you.
Terrible. You should be happy you didn't have it.
Thank you for that.
No, the food, the other sandwich was great. So did I understand there, as we were talking off air, that we're just about at the 1 year mark of you joining Compass? Is that true?
It was the 1 year mark, December 15th, actually.
Wow, time flies.
Yes,
I can't believe it's been a whole year. You either,
I know.
Huh?
No, I can't believe it either. I look at Gordon, I was like, how grateful are you?
I love it. I love it.
I get the biggest eye roll ever, but I know he means it with love.
Well, keep us updated on your progress, Nicole, please.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys and the support and everything in between.
We'll be rooting for you. I won't send you any wine or cookies or anything.
No. You can send wine. This is done after January.
Okay. Just a few more days.
Exactly.
All right,
thanks
Nicole.
So much, guys.
Yep. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, that's good. Oh, so good. That food last time was so good.
Italian's probably the pasta is probably the number one thing I crave. I crave Chinese food and pasta. Like any day of the week, I'm good with that. All year round, that is what I want. If my husband and I can't decide on dinner, how about Chinese? Or how about Italian? Like, the problem is I try not to eat that many carbs. So I don't like to have a bunch of pasta in my house. But I had, you know, they sell Katie's pizza, the actual like sauce and the homemade pasta.
Yeah.
I didn't get the homemade pasta. I should have. It's pretty expensive. But I got the sauce and it was phenomenal. I would have blended it up and had it as a smoothie. That's how good it was.
Always tell myself I'm going to cut back on carbs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go to a place like this restaurant last night, Ami's, which is they have the best toasted wraps and their dinner, their big salad they make is my wife loves that. It's delicious. And the first thing they do is bring me out a basket of bread, which, you know, I was there by myself, so I ate all of it. And then they bring me out the sandwich and it's on a big toasted hoagie. Now, if I'd been thinking, I would have taken the bread away and just used my knife and fork to cut up the sausage, but I didn't do that.
No, so the bread makes the sandwich.
I consumed a lot of carbs in that one sitting there, plus pasta as the side.
That's okay, Mark.
So if you've never, we found this place. We're thrilled. If you live in that general area, you got to go there. It's really good.
I'll have to go.
Mm-hmm. You're not far. You're not too far.
No, I'm not too far.
You can head over there and check it out. Ami's, A-M-I apostrophe S. Good stuff. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to in other news here in just a couple of minutes. And next hour, we're going to talk about what in the world is going on in Illinois. I know I've asked that question far too often for my Southern Illinois listeners. We love you. But the folks up in Springfield are out of control. And this time it's affecting your Second Amendment rights again, and I'm sure it's going to end up tied up in court. But we're going to talk to Illinois State Rep David Freese coming up here at about 7:35. Stay tuned.
What's happening?
You know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news,
Chris Stapleton's All-American Roadshow Tour is back for its ninth year. It will make a stop here in St. Louis on July 11th. It's going to be out at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. Now, he's going to be taking a bunch of people on tour with him this year, but it looks like at our stop, we're going to get Brittany Spencer. If you haven't heard her, she's really good, I think. But
I thought you were going to say Britney Spears.
So did I.
I'm like, where's she going?
On a country
tour.
What
a combo.
You're going to rename it the Crazy Tour.
Yeah, so if you want more details, head up Chris Stapleton's website, chrisstapleton.com. Speaking of tickets, the UK government has announced plans to tackle ticket resale at inflated prices, aiming to protect fans from exploitation by professional scalpers.
Is this after the Oasis ticket scandal?
It has something to do with that, and I believe...
The Taylor Swift ticket scandal? Okay.
Proposed measures include capping resale prices, stricter regulations for resale platforms, and enhanced consumer enforcement. Also increased fines for the violators.
Wait, is this in California, did you say?
No, UK.
Oh.
Now, they do need to do this in the U.S. because getting tickets is impossible.
Yeah, that lottery thing is kind of weird.
You know,
it's just impossible.
I'm a capitalist. I understand if you have something of value and you can resell it for a higher dollar amount, it's the artists who get screwed on it. I mean, they're getting face value for their tickets and somebody's reselling them for $2,000.
Would this also deal with sports as well?
I would guess.
I would think all tickets
because,
in general.
You know, Super Bowl tickets are multi-million dollar things.
You mean guaranteeing that they'll never hold a Super Bowl in the U.K.? With a law like that in place.
But they have like four games in the UK.
I know, but they're not going to like that very
much. Well, no, but also the reason that Goodell said they wouldn't have a Super Bowl in the UK is the fact that unless they did it in a different time than we normally would have it, they're 6 hours ahead, so they'd have to play it at 11 o'clock at night.
The Super Bowl should not be in a foreign country.
I agree with that
100%, Sue.
But you do call them world champions when they win. So.
Which is also kind of odd.
There aren't any Canadian teams.
Planet Fitness is offering free access to showers and Wi-Fi at the Los Angeles County locations to support residents displaced by the wildfires and first responders. Their offer is valid until January 15th at dozens of the locations. But I just wanted to highlight that. I thought that was kind of cool that they're opening up everything for all these people. Like, hey, come in, get your Wi-Fi, get a shower.
Planet Fitness already had it open up. Like, men can use the women's room, women can use the men's room. So there you go. We got it all covered.
You need a rim shot there, Carl.
Yeah, there you go.
Wait a minute.
That's okay. No, we don't.
That was actually kind of funny, Mark. I'll give you that.
2024, Illinois received 60,537 requests for personalized license plates. They rejected about 335 for being offensive, lewd, or difficult to read. Among the rejected were plates like Jagweed, Munch, and Bad Arse. I'm saying it
You're
correctly.
You're not even saying some of the worst ones.
No, I know. Well,
there, you should Google this.
We're getting down there.
You can't say some of the worst ones on radio.
That is true.
And how did they think that they would get away with that?
I don't know. Illinois has the most, personalized license plates. Yeah, well, that too. But they have enough, digits on there or spaces for characters that they can go nuts.
And for a while, I don't know if this is still the case, but you could have a personalized plate if you had a number at the end and they didn't charge you.
Wow. So if you were really creative, you'd get it for free.
Yeah.
Well, one person wanted MW, and if you go look at that all together, it's extremely difficult. It's very hard to read, which I'm sure they liked.
And one of the most popular one was the Haktua.
Somebody trying to sneak that in somehow.
Yeah,
and
what?
I mean, at the end of the day, why do they care? I mean,
you don't want to be offended,
if
Mark.
It's, well, yeah. I mean, is it who's offended by that?
Imagine
some Karen driving down the road.
Cops being on a high speed chase, and they're like, "License plate, Haktua."
I'm having to call it in. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what it is.
We're trying to follow. They have to. They have to. No, there's like an Amber Alert, and they have to put out one of those digital messages on the interstate for all the residents to see. And it's like, "License plate, Haktua, red Camry. Please watch out for them."
Yeah, that could be it.
There was a failed bank robbery in Loveland, Colorado. It was thwarted by the would-be thief's illegible handwriting. This would be me. Which prevented the bank teller from understanding his demands. The incident happened at the First National Bank located about 50 miles north of Denver. And according to the Loveland Police Department, the man entered the bank, handed the teller the note with his demands. However, the handwriting was so poor, the teller could not decipher it, leading to confusion. As the situation escalated, the man grew visibly frustrated by the teller's inability to comprehend his demands. And after a brief, intense exchange, the suspect abandoned his attempted robbery and left the bank without any money.
Isn't it like a Woody Allen bit from like the 70s?
It sounds familiar for some reason.
I can't read this.
And the city of Bend, Oregon is urging residents to please stop attaching googly eyes to roadside sculptures, and removing them is costly and risk damaging the art. The gag involved oversized eyes taped to a deer and geometric artwork in the roundabouts, and has led to over $1,500 in removal expenses due to adhesive-related damages requiring special treatment for materials like, you know, their stainless steel that they're attached
to. That's hilarious.
That's like telling the good old country boys not to shoot at the road signs, like the speed signs.
You know, there's a, isn't it a pickle jar that's somewhere here in the St. Louis area?
It's up by West County
They don't
Mall.
Have googly eyes on it, but like
it's
nobody.
West
okay, thank
by
you. West, I've never seen it, but I would like to because apparently this is a very well-known pickle jar.
Oh, yeah. It's famous.
It doesn't move.
It's been there for years.
It's crazy.
Coming up, we're going to talk about our friends in Illinois and what the General Assembly is trying to do to your gun rights. All that straight ahead on the Mark Cox Morning Show. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.